Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Cantrell Show, the Awaken to Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And I'm so excited that Jamie Price is here with us today. And we're going to be talking about light language, ascension, empowerment, and so much more. So who knows what we're going to talk about. So part of what we're going to talk about and discuss and learn on today's show, we're going to discover how to best navigate the current ascension energies and focus your creative flow. We're going to learn why light language is expanding rapidly and how our bodies are readjusting to the natural evolution of ascension. We're going to receive healing to help soothe and nurture yourself into greater strength and compassion through rapid change. And who knows what else, right? And so for those of you who don't know Jamie, she is an author, the author of Opening to Light Language. She is an international energy healer, channel, and teacher. She developed an energy healing modality called Crystalline Soul Healing, and also channels healing energies in the form of light language, which are universal language encodements that your heart and infinite mind speak fluently. She channels Arion, the Lyran Council of Time, focused on humanity's ascension, and Jamie's private sessions, classes, and products assist with transmuting physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual blocks into wisdom, compassion, and empowerment. And one of the things that I love about Jamie's work is the monthly energies videos that she shares on YouTube. So I always look forward to them and I always watch and listen to them. And yeah, they're so relevant. So Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So yeah, I mean, I'm sure most people know, you know, that, you know, you've been doing light language for a long time. You've been sharing the wisdom from the Lyran Council of Time, right?
Yes.
For quite a while now, right? It's not something brand new. It's been for a while. And so you've been working with ascension for a long time and things are changing, right? Things are changing, things are shifting. So how did you start doing the healing work that you do?
Nice. Yeah, it is so interesting to see how things are changing. You know, I was actually trained by my guides in the early 90s. And at the time, I didn't know what was actually happening because I wasn't a psychic child. This was all new to me. I didn't know about chakras, none of that. And my psychic senses started opening and I started realizing that I was getting these impulses. And at times I was being taught, and I just would kind of zone out and then kind of come back to and be confused as to why I was thinking about the healing properties of the color green, for example. And what I learned later is my guides were teaching me that whole time. So the process of healing started because I woke up one day when I was feeling sick and I just had the impulse to run my hand over my body, like a couple of inches above it. And I didn't know about chakras. I didn't know about healing. I didn't know any of that was possible. And yet I just had the impulse. So I did it anyway. And I would feel hot spots on my body. And so I would just kind of stop moving my hand and I would see this gray energy coming out of my body. And then I would empty my hand at different times. And then a couple hours later, I was feeling totally fine. And so I started practicing with that. And once I started realizing that that was possible, I just became obsessed. And the same with the ascension process, it's my passion. And so everything started being focused in that direction. You know, even when I was at work in the corporate world at the time, I was looking at what kind of lessons was I learning? Why was I interacting with the people that I was interacting with? What kind of things were coming up for me, and that obsession has never dwindled.
Nice. Good. I'm glad. And so you do a lot of work with light language as well. And, you know, most of us here on this show are familiar with light language. We've experienced light language. There are many of, you know, of our guests who channel light language, but what is light language to you?
To me, it's a very natural form of communication, and yet it certainly wasn't always natural to me. I hadn't heard of it before it started happening, and even when it was happening, when it began happening to me, I didn't know what was going on. So in the early 2000s, after having an axitonal alignment, I was already working on clients, and my hands then started just moving around on their own. And since I was used to the conversations with my guides during that process of healing, I would ask them, you know, what is this about? And often they would give me a typical answer that I was expecting, like what was happening with the person. But every once in a while, they would tell me this weird answer that I had no reference for. And they would say, there's this many people on earth that are doing this. And it was a number that would go up and down, and it was relatively small at that time. And I would ask, doing what? And they wouldn't answer me any further. So it was to be a journey of discovery for me. And because it was experienced from that context of healing, and it was coming through my hands, which was silent as the people's eyes were closed on the table, I enjoyed the process. And it was nurturing, it was loving, and it didn't become scary to me until the sound wanted to come out. And then I kept it suppressed for a long time because I just thought that would be so weird. And it took me years to share it with clients, to share it with people that would come to classes, and then more years to start sharing it on YouTube. And I've been sharing those monthly videos with Light Language since 2012. Is that right?
Quite a while.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah. Yeah, so about 7 years. And in these past 2 to 3 years, the growth of people interested in light language, people doing light language, has just been amazing. Because obviously back in the day when I started, there was almost no information about it that was really accessible. So it has just been growing so fast, because it's so natural to us. It's part of our ascension. So to me, ascension is a very natural evolution, and it's just at an exciting point right now where we are becoming much more conscious with the subtle realm. So it's always been interacting with us, but now we are starting to interact with it more consciously instead of unconsciously. And part of that is an increase in our intuition, our subtle senses of how we communicate, because as Arion, the Lyran Council of Time that I channel, says, subtle speaks directly to subtle. That's that direct communication. And it speaks to the physical. It's just that it takes a little bit longer for things to manifest in the physical most often because of that density. So light language is a form of subtle communication, or another way of saying that is non-linear communication. So rather than just using memorized words that we've developed our own individual and then collective context around, rather than using those memorized forms of communication, light language is a non-linear communication that is much more malleable. It's much more intuitive. So it's speaks directly to the heart rather than the mental constructs. And because of that, it can help us expand really rapidly. And that communication is always going on between us, each of us, and the subtle realms. And so light language is a bridge of starting to interact with nonlinear, vast communication or multidimensional communication, so that we're blending how we are understanding our own experience and the experience of the subtle realm. So it's really nice to see that it's growing so much. And I believe, and I experience, that that is because our multidimensional communication is expanding. So some people might notice it as an increase in their intuition. Some might notice it as an increase in their sensitivity, their empathy. And others might notice it in a draw or a flow of light language.
Nice. And, you know, for me, I find whenever I'm listening to light language, I tend to go much deeper, you know, so I guess I'm getting more out of my head and I tend to yawn a lot more and I just go deeper into whatever is going on. And I think it's because, you know, my mind is finally for once being a little bit silent, right?
Yes. Yes. Because it's kind of interacting with the whole energy field in a very deep way, rather than just our mental constructs. So you get affected by it just as you would kind of being in a less linear state like sleep. You know, mm-hmm. we go into those alpha states of meditation and then the sleep state of theta and delta. And the light language will activate some of those non-beta brainwave states. So there's healing that occurs, there's a meditative effect. It's really fascinating and so natural to us.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of the things I love light language. It's just, I don't even have to know what it says, what it means or anything. I just love to experience it. Now, right. it's just, I don't know, it's so much more expansive, I find.
Yes, yes.
So we talked a little bit about the crystalline soul healing, right? That's what you had started off with, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
That's a modality that I developed that I did not intend to develop. I mean, it just kind of happened because I'm a little obsessive. Mm-hmm. And I was like, as I became obsessed with healing, I was like, oh my gosh, how can I help the most in one session? Well, there's these foundational things that I want to make sure that I've gone through. And I just started making lists. And over a period of about a year and a half, I realized that that list was building a template. And so crystalline soul healing is a template. It's an alchemical template that your higher self utilizes to release and activate around the information in the template. So belief systems, old traumas, teaching you a new resonance of the higher truth of things. So it goes through a whole litany of information. And then if you're resonant with releasing it, your higher self will release. If you're resonant with activating something, your higher self will activate. Mm-hmm. So similar to light language in the way that the higher self is co-creating that healing rather than just a healer doing something that is affecting you. It's a co-creation, which is more tuned in with where we are moving with our empowerment.
Awesome. And so where are we moving with our empowerment?
Well, we are becoming more empowered individuals, more mm-hmm. empowered sovereigns. And what that means is we are balancing the rules of the physical realm, which are, this is the realm of conditions. You know, we have conditions in the physicality, like you have to breathe oxygen mm-hmm. in order, you have to breathe air, much more than oxygen, and in order to sustain the body. And it's just a neutral condition of the physical realm. And we have other conditions like how we allow people to treat us, or the choices that we make, the actions that we take, that may not seem neutral from our perspective, but once we get to that neutrality, we can then more easily balance those rules of the physical realm with the rules of the subtle realm. And they are different rules. The rules of the subtle realm are much more about your resonance and attracting things. That's why there's so much focus on, you know, creating with your thoughts and your mm-hmm. emotions, because when you shift your resonance, then the things that you are attracting are different. And Ariane uses the atomic model to explain this. So in a very simplified version of it, obviously. So in the nucleus of that atom, you've got a positively charged proton and a neutrally charged neutron. And then outside of that, you have the negatively charged electron. And inside that nucleus, when the positive proton is equal to the neutral neutron, that's when you have the stable nucleus. And that opposite charge of the electron just completes that flow. And that's how we build form. So in essence, when your positivity is equal to your neutrality, you're creating more stably. And that then draws that opposite, and that's where you complete new form. Now, often in the human experience, we think of the opposite as negative, but when you're neutral around that, it's just the opposite, and it's not throwing you off of your balance, even though it does create change. So the opposite might be something like, I want to create a painting, and my positivity is equal to my neutrality. This is fun, and I love painting. And then that opposite might be something like, this brush stroke that I did, it wasn't what I wanted, so I'm going to change this. Well, when someone is neutral around that, they just change it. Mm-hmm. And that's where that stable new creation comes about. So the rules of balancing those rules of the subtle realm are about shifting our neutrality. And when you are more neutral, you're sustaining your energy of your positivity within, your neutrality within, and then what's going on outside of you, quote unquote, outside of the nucleus, is not throwing you off balance. You sustain your positivity. And that's where our empowerment comes in, because we are becoming more responsible for what's going on in our inner realm and not controlling our thoughts by suppressing them, but focusing our thoughts by utilizing our neutrality to sustain our positivity. So sometimes that may feel like noticing something negative, but you bring it back to that neutrality because you're concerned with your inner realm staying strong. Mm-hmm. And that's where our empowerment is all of these individuals that are strong in their focus. And this is why I focus a lot on our empathy and strengthening the self, because when the sensitive ones that are naturally very loving are leading their lives powerfully, then they're flowing that love out into the world. And we teach most often by example. And people are picking up information around us because of how we are, because of our actions and the things that they may not be conscious of that they're sensing. So that's where our empowerment is. It's in a strengthening phase and a deepening phase of holding that power of love within.
Beautiful. I love it. And the thing is that right now I'm finding that a lot of people are being thrown off balance. A lot of us light workers, way showers, just people who are immersed in, you know, energy. Sometimes it feels like we're getting bombarded with stuff and it's hard to keep our focus. It's hard to keep balanced. You know, we get knocked around a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And this brings us to the point of how to utilize the current ascension energies, because in essence, a big part of ascension is being adaptable, mm-hmm. that you have to be able to read the clues in the moment of what do I need right now? What kind of communication is my higher self trying to convey to me? What is my human self going through that I can shift in order to sustain my positivity balanced with my neutrality? And it's much easier said than done at times, mm-hmm. but a big part of that is relaxing into the change. And I remember a time with ascension where it really felt like we have so much to do and so little time to do it. We got to keep working on our clearing. And that is still there in the sense that while you're in physical, you're moving through time. And so there's always improvements that can be made. But when you relax into them, you open up your energy field, and then you're open to that flow of new information. So relaxing is a big key, that it might be a few moments of breathing, or it could be taking a day off, but that relaxing is key. And another way that Ariane explains that is the core flow of our movement in this expression is the spiraling. We live in a spiral galaxy. Mm-hmm. The energy within the flow of a sphere is spiraling. The Merkaba is a spiraling. It's two opposing spirals, even though we see it in two dimensions as two triangles. So the way that they explain that is, if you look at that hourglass spiraling in the middle, that spiral is spinning very fast. It's getting faster and faster. And on the outsides, it's much slower. So if you were going through that experience, when that spiral is moving much slower, it's very easy to move your body around, you know, to resist that flow and to change direction how you desire. But if you were in a very fast moving spiral, there would be so much centrifugal force on the body, mm-hmm. then it would be hard to resist that flow. So that's the time that you relax, you go within, you don't resist that flow or try to force a different direction, you go with the flow. So now is a time that we're really paying attention to, what are my inner needs and how can I relax into the things that are happening? And relaxing may not feel like no tension. It's just the difference between trying to force against something versus going with the flow of your needs. So relaxing is a big one. And sometimes that's easier said than done, especially mm-hmm. when we're feeling like there's so much going on around us. And when we have that inner core of neutrality and positivity balanced, then the things that we're observing are coming into contact with our dominant energy frequency, and that's what changes it. You know, Ariane says, you never just hear a story, you receive it, you interact with it. It interacts with your energy field. And so as you're hearing things, seeing things, coming into contact with information, it's your choice what to do with that information. And when you can see something that you don't agree with and hold the space for a new potential, that's that information coming into contact with your desires as part of this collective. And then you emanate that energy and that information out into this field that we are all in. So kind of ties together our empowerment with how to deal with these current energies is sustaining that neutrality and that positivity within, taking care of your inner needs. And that is a key part of shifting the flow of the human experience, not from control or domination, which always ends up moving towards more love, but really taking that time to focus that love so that it's a smoother journey in whatever way is possible.
Beautiful. And you know, that's the thing, when we're getting knocked off our center, when we're getting, you know, being bombarded, when we're just like doing, we forget that key component of love, right? Of being centered, of being balanced, of really looking at the bigger picture sometimes, you know, of just going within. We forget to do that because we're just like, go. There's just so much to do. And some people feel like they're running out of time even.
Yeah. And that's part of that experience of things speeding up. You know, it seems like there's more to do. It seems like there's less time. Time is moving faster. There's more information flow. And those things are true. Mm-hmm. However, in order to utilize that flow, when you relax or it seems like you slow down, you start using the momentum that is naturally there. And that's part of that exciting thing of more conscious interaction with the subtle realm. It's less about the doing and more about the being, which again, easier said than done. Because another aspect of that atomic model that Ariane uses is it's 99% space and 1% matter about. And that, they say, that ratio applies to everything in life. When I mentioned, you know, we pick up things most by learning by example, that's because of that 99% unconscious versus the 1% conscious, or the 99% invisible, subtle, versus the 1% physical or action. We're speaking with each other 99% of our information to 99% of our information. So we're picking up so much from the energetics or the subtle realm. And when you start going with the natural flow of life, you're using that momentum of the 99% invisible that builds worlds.
Wow.
And yet it's still a balance of action and non-action, or doing and being. So it's sometimes challenging to remember when there's a whole list of things to do.
But we have to do both, you know, like we can't just be, right? You know, and we can't just do, we have to do both, right?
Yes, absolutely. We are here to be physical and integrate the non-physical. We are here to be human and integrate the divinity into this experience. So it is a balance of being and doing. And that is, especially to integrate ascension into our lives, that is the key to shifting this human experience, is bringing it into everything. When you're at the grocery store, when you're at work, it is everywhere. If someone's talking to you about, you know, trigger things like politics or money or something that can be upsetting to certain people, then you keep working your neutrality back so that you can sustain your balance of energy no matter what's going on around you. And it's okay if it goes up and down. It's not meant to be a monotone of perfection at this time. That you can have those times where it feels like, oh, I'm only doing, or oh, I'm negative right now. I just got upset when this person said so-and-so. But that's the perfect flow, just like a heartbeat goes up and down, because that's what gives you the clarity and the exercise to know that you can get your positivity balanced with your neutrality back. You don't have to be perfect.
We don't have to be perfect? Are you serious? Are you sure?
I know, right?
You know, we're all trying so hard to be perfect. I'm trying to keep Neil quiet because I'm trying to have this be perfect. It's like, you know what? He's going to bark if he's going to bark. There's nothing I can do about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It is what it is. So, but, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, when it comes to, you know, our ascension, us being members of society, even, right? You know, we are members of society. We're ascending at the same time. And, you know, a lot of us are using the tools that we've been given, that we've learned, you know, most of us on these calls have been doing that. But still, I feel like still there's like something else is coming or like shifting, so that everything, not just that it's speeding up, but sometimes it feels like, you know, all the old patterns are coming up and people are wondering like, oh my God, I've been working on this for so long. Why is it still here? You know, why have I not still, you know, why have I not cleared it? Why is this not healed yet? You know, like what's going on with that?
Right. So, that, I've got bad news. that is part of the journey. And I understand how frustrating it is. And I have been there, and I will probably be there again, where I have what I call lovingly a spiritual tantrum around why, you know, because it's so frustrating at times where it feels like I've been working on this, I've been trying, there must be something I'm missing, otherwise it would be different.
Right.
And
yeah.
When you surrender into the journey, I know, right?
I don't like that word. I just don't like that word.
Yeah, because it feels like giving up. It
yeah.
feels like weakness. It feels like not winning and
quitting.
Failing. But what it really is about giving up the unhealthy control. And that's why I give myself permission to have another spiritual tantrum around this in the future if I ever need to, because I've been there before and it's highly possible I'll be there again at some other time going, oh, this is so frustrating. But what you're giving up or surrendering to is the control that's not helping you. Like, I'm going to work this out until it's done, which I agree with. You know, I want to work everything I can out until it's done. And I'm going to do that to the best of my abilities. But I have to do that within the pace of the physicality that I'm co-creating with my higher self, which means my human self doesn't have the full control. So sometimes things come out, release or heal to a layer that seems like it's done. And our human mind would rather go, well, if I just keep working on it, then I'll get it all the way done and I can move on to the next thing. But what's occurring is your higher self has determined that either your physical body or your mental emotional bodies need to integrate in order to then move forward. So there might be an experience that you need to have. There might be someone that you need to meet or an understanding that you need to have that just isn't ripe yet. And so it will come up over the time frame that your higher self has co-created into perfection in this realm of quote unquote imperfections. Because the human self is like, well, I just want to do this all now. And my example of that is when I was younger and living at home, I bit my nails ever since I can remember. And I tried everything to stop. You know, you put that stuff that tastes terrible on there, you cover it. I would sit on my hands. I mean, I tried everything that I could to stop. And about a year after moving out of the house, I suddenly stopped biting my nails. Well, that was unheard of. And I wasn't into healing at the time. So I was just like, wow, that's amazing. Yay, I can wear nail polish now.
Right.
And not have painful fingers. And that was wonderful for about 20 years. I think it was more like 25, but I'd have to do the math and that probably won't happen right now. but at least 20 years where I did not bite my fingernails. And then in 2013, I started biting them painfully again. I'm like, wow, that's unusual. And I knew by this point, since obviously I'd been doing energy healing, I knew something was up, that there was a pattern coming up. And of course, you know, that's what it was. I was now ready to deal with some stuff from my childhood that stressed me out so much when I was living at home. And then once I got out of that environment, my body didn't need to deal with that at the time. So later when it came up, I was like, okay, time to do this. Now, I will every once in a while bite a cuticle or a nail or something, not to the point of pain. And I'm like, oh, God, got to work on something. Excellent. But
so it's a sign
that
for
was
you.
A 20-year example of yeah. like, done. And then it was back.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm glad I get my nails done now, so I can't bite my nails, because I used to bite my nails too, but now, you know, no. So Caroline was asking a really good question. The always, you know, the always something is coming up, something is happening. Is that the fact that we're always evolving and we're still alive, so there's always going to be something?
Yes. Yes. And it is that exercise of getting into neutrality, because the reality of who we are, who every individual It's just that the people that are on this call, for example, people that are interested in healing and ascension and their self-improvement, mm-hmm. they are just more aware of it. And they are integrating it into the experience more. But the core truth of who we are is powerful, infinite beings.
Right.
And that's not news to anyone here.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come into this physicality, that veil of forgetting and the density creates a process where that's not obvious to us. And that veil of forgetting has been dissipating continuously as we move into a higher density, but it's really been intensifying since July of this year, where our intuition is opening up more. We're integrating past life gifts, or we're healing past life traumas, ancestral gifts we're inheriting, or healing ancestral patterns. So things keep amping up for more healing, more strengthening. And that's why it's so perfect that we had these conversations about, is it ever going to be done? Well, no, not in physicality in our current time frame. Mm-hmm. So open up or surrender into mm-hmm. yeah. that flow of it's the journey, not the goal.
But even the journey doesn't have to be a struggle, though. You know, like even if stuff is coming up and you're being present with it, you're being neutral with it, you know, you're finding the balance, it doesn't have to be a struggle anymore, right?
It doesn't. And that's that power of that neutrality. So when things come up, you can do things like, oh, good, I'm going through change. Oh, I know what's on the other side of this. More empowerment, more strength, more clarity, you know, anything that helps relax you into the flow more. And I always say, you know, let that be something that you believe rather than, you know, something you're going through a big challenge and you're trying to tell yourself everything is perfect. Well, you don't believe that. You're too smart for that.
Yeah.
So tell yourself things that you believe, like, oh, I know what this is. This is that negative electron creating new forms. So I'm just going through change. And that helps neutralize so that it's less challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start noticing, oh, look, this thing is happening in my life and I'm not getting as upset. Or I'm not getting upset at all. Or, oh, look, it didn't last as long when I got upset and it wasn't as extreme.
Yeah.
So whatever is helping to strengthen you into that neutrality, and that's what makes things less challenging overall.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the thing, it's about being in that neutrality the more and more, not reacting to what's happening outside of you, right? And continuing to go within and connecting to that space, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really taking care of that inner space, because that's where your real sovereignty is. That's where your real quote unquote control is. Not that you're supposed to control your inner realm, but it's the thing that is truly yours to determine, because everything external is subject to the co-creation of the collective. So you have certain amounts of control in the external, but you have your most quote unquote control in your inner realm. And so nurturing that inner space, doing that inner healing, that's what changes your resonance. And then you're interacting with those rules of the subtle realm in a different way. That's why when we first start learning about the power of our thoughts to create, usually the first response is apply the rules of the physical realm into that. Oh, well, if I only think positively, then I only create positive things. And that might work for a little while, but soon it becomes apparent that it's not enough. And it really is about doing that inner healing rather than controlling the inner realm, so that when challenges do come up, you're not thrown off balance so much. And that's because that control, just like we're seeing the control structures fall in the, you know, in the world around us, they're going through change. And that control structure is a weak structure because it's not in alignment with the laws of nature that are about mutual beneficial flow between things rather than something that benefits and other things that don't.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, thank you. And I was just gonna ask you really quickly, you know, because, you know, we're becoming more and more aware of our subtle energies, our higher self, our guides, our angels, our galactic families, and so on. That's, you know, and, you know, we keep hearing stuff about disclosure and stuff. I don't know about that myself, but we are connected to, you know, the greater, our greater galactic families, you know, they're not greater per se, but they're just like, you know, I'm not sure what the word is, out there, you know, I'm going to say. So is it really, useful or relevant to connect with our galactic heritage? And is that valuable for us as we are ascending, as we are growing, as we are evolving?
You know, it depends on what you do with it. Mm-hmm. I think it is valuable in the sense that it's part of helping us to realize we're part of a broader structure. So part of our ascension is integrating universal law more directly into the physical experience rather than just physical law. Mm-hmm. And our galactic heritage can be part of that. And if it's something that is supporting your human journey, then that can be helpful. But if it's something that is taking you out of really embracing and integrating with the human journey, then it's not helpful. And sometimes that is what happens with disclosure. People get so fascinated by the storyline of it, mm-hmm. or they get angry at the governmental structures for not disclosing it, then it's taking them out of shifting their resonance. And they may not even be conscious of how much that frustration is shifting their own resonance. So in the way that it integrates a deeper understanding of our connection on a universal level, our capability as a human being, and some of the support of our process of ascension, then it can be helpful as long mm-hmm. as it's not taking us out of the human experience.
Yeah. Yeah, because we did come here to have a human experience.
Right, right.
Right.
And this is a divine vessel, and understanding it and utilizing it more deeply is what the galactic journey is to me. It's like the Lyrans teach us certain things. In fact, I have a deck of cards that's coming out for the next couple of months that uses some of those galactic heritage, some of that galactic heritage to help us on the mental and emotional journey. Mm-hmm. And the Lyrans are all about deepening our awareness so that we start that mental understanding in a way that begins new choices. But we can't just stay at the mental understanding. We have to actually start making new choices. And then the Sirians help us with that mental and emotional balance as we're moving through change. The Orions help us with deep healing, so a lot of release and transformation. And then the Pleiadians, who had some of the easiest journey of ascension, and the Pleiadians and the Sirians are our most direct progenitors. Mm-hmm. The Pleiadians help us with expansion because they sustain some of that positive focus on our ascension process. So where it's helpful for us to understand our journey, I really enjoy discovering that. And that's why I love channeling the Lyrans, because they really go deep on that mental and emotional process so that we can understand our divine vessel much more readily.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. So, you know, you do a lot of work with the light language. You do your the weekly light blast, you do the monthly energy reading, you have lots of products on your website, you know, with light language. Can you share a little bit about some of the products that you have available? And also, can you share some light language here today on the call?
Yes, I'd love to. I'm excited about the light language deck that's coming out over the next couple of months, because that's been something that's been in my heart for so many years, and it's finally almost here. But I have a lot of audio downloads, some that are just light language with music that help you work on specific things, some that are combined with teaching in English, and of course there's personal sessions, and I teach light language in person in an in-depth way. There's so much free stuff available, because I love sharing that. Like Alara, like you mentioned, the monthly videos that come out, that kind of help focus us on what some of the overarching energy of that month, and a lot of writing and things to help us understand this journey more, because that's definitely my passion, is helping to empower us on this journey so that the loving ones are getting their energy into the world. And that's what starts it changing better.
Yeah, awesome. So I have a quick question from Caroline, which might be really helpful for everybody. And she's asking if you could expand on connecting to Mother Earth. She says, I'm feeling and hearing more and more and often to connect to Mother Earth. I have many ways that I connect, and I still hear it. So can you speak on connecting to Mother Earth? And why is it, you know, because I mean, I ground every day too, and I'm still told by other healers that, you know, you should ground, you're not grounded. And it's like, I ground every day. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know, I just did an interview for Guyam, and Ariane was channeling an interview, and it was so interesting what they said, because the question was asked, what is Gaia, what level is Gaia's consciousness, or something like that, is Gaia's consciousness seventh density? And Ariane's answer really fascinated me, and this is why I think, Caroline, you're experiencing such an increased pull to connect with Gaia. So what they said is, you know, we understand the question that you want to know about Gaia's consciousness, but from our perspective, it is intertwined and connected with your consciousness. It is separate in some ways, but it's connected in other ways. And so part of her consciousness is dependent on yours, or interconnected with yours. So some of us have natural propensities for the things that we're here to do. And part of that connecting with Gaia is about shifting and anchoring the flow of consciousness into humanity. So there used to just be a lot of focus around connecting with the density of Earth in order to ground us. And that is very helpful, and it's powerful. You know, the earthing is a great way of doing that, being out in nature, visualizing those times when you can't be out in nature. That's all helpful. And doing the healing work, the inner work, is helpful for grounding, because when someone is truly and consistently ungrounded, and I'm not saying that this is what you're experiencing, Alara, because there's other reasons why this occurs as well, but when someone is consistently ungrounded, often there is trauma that is keeping them outside of the body from fully integrating into the body, because there's an unconscious fear of being in the body. So there's all kinds of different reasons why someone is not necessarily grounded consistently. And frankly, all of us should be going through times where we're a little less grounded and then regrounding because we're going through so much change. Now, Caroline's question about how to ground and you know, that need to continue grounding more, that felt very much about Gaia's connection, Gaia's consciousness wanting to connect with us more directly in order to bring the higher frequency earth energies into the human experience. That there are certain people that walk about with, this make me beklempt, we'll probably go into light language. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you never know what's going to happen. Oh, thanks so much, Caroline, for bringing this up. Some people walk about with the higher understanding of how humanity is to be interacting with the earth around us, and they do it in all different ways. We see it with certain indigenous cultures, mm-hmm. and we see it in strongly in certain time frames of generations. And what I feel is happening for Caroline, and I know so many other people are probably experiencing this as well, is that connection to keep bringing those higher frequency earth energies into the human experience. And so just that connection is almost like receiving a healing session from Gaia, or getting a lesson from Gaia, getting an integration of those higher frequency earth codes, that then as you are going about your daily life, you're at the grocery store, you're at, you know, a corporate work, you're at a family reunion, you're in a healing session, you are flowing that information strongly into that 99% invisible realm. Beautiful question, Caroline, because some people may be feeling like, am I just not grounding right? Am I missing something? And there will be some instances where that is what's occurring, but there's also other things that can be occurring, like a connection that Gaia wants with you in order to strengthen that flow of higher frequency earth experience that may not necessarily even be so conscious, because it may not be as linearized as, well, we recycle, well, we do this, and you know, these action steps. That's just part of it. But I'm feeling strongly that, Caroline, you're being called to connect and hold those frequencies even during those times where it seems like it's not about earth stuff. So I would like to go into some light language to help us integrate our own individual and ever-changing connection with Gaia to expand our human experience and that broader collective experience, or beginning to flow higher law, higher resonance into the physical experience, so that we're connecting more deeply with the earth and we're feeling that support and that strength from Gaia, as well as that higher understanding of the human journey moving through time on earth. Good. So take a deep, relaxing breath. And as I'm doing the frequencies, the crystalline soul healing and light language frequencies, just see what you notice. It might come in feelings or thoughts or physical sensations or psychic understandings, but just see what you notice. Sharo humem sushtaira tano kum jairut sanishtora tainem akot shairut alielu makut em. Dairu sanshura makarut amma. Som shairut unumma. Amo. Tanu kerub shad ureyat alel. Tan shum send ur makairum klel nem so. Anjur set cherum kat ura. Sum sharut num. Kandushterut ul. Tana sum sharut en kerum. Tan steirut sel stum. Chan sur steirum karat num. Juriat send urmek urm. Tan steirut sel stum. Hanu steirub adet kuar. Hachut senu steiruma karut numme eret. Dein steirut sunun stum et maru hukmat is sum steiru urel im. Hamututuma em. Anuriek arostam et saru. Tumma tantu. Kanu kum atayat u. Kanu sadestor atayat charu uam. Stamm. Kanot an Shura mat el am. Tana steirut su kushteru kumma. Kanot stamm suru tuk ura taya u. Anu restarut u kem. Good. Taking another relaxing breath. Good. So I want to share a little bit of what I was experiencing during that. And remember, you know, your experience can be a little different because your higher self is activating the encodements for you. Let me drink some water first. Mm-hmm. Lot of throat.
Yeah.
So that felt like a full body kind of clearing through the chakra system. And when I first began, I was noticing a lot in the third chakra and the second chakra especially, that they were opening up that flow. And of course, that's all about the personal will, the focus and action with the third chakra. And then that second chakra is how we relate out to the world, connection, abundance, the relationship. The creativity begins in the second chakra. Then I started seeing some different imagery, like I was seeing caves and connecting with that energy of nurturing a space. like we had talked about that inner space within. Then I started feeling a lot going on with the upper chakras and the lot going on in the heart and the throat, especially a lot of activation in the third eye, the higher chakras, the earth star, the earth chakra and the earth star and the solar star, the galactic star, whatever people call that one typically. Soul star, there we go. Those starting to open up more to bring in more of that higher self integration and being able to connect with the earth in a more powerful, full flow. And then at the very end, I was getting a direct translation for the light language, talking about your power is inside, your power is within. And that's why they were showing that cave earlier, that there's a nurturing and protective aspect that as you're sustaining that nurturance and protection within, you're interacting more strongly with life. So that was really beautiful.
No, it was powerful. I'm still yawning and I'm still experiencing the energies moving, especially in the upper chakras and the third eye. Still, stuff is happening. Lots of stuff happening.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Nice. Thank you for that. I love that question, Caroline, because that really stirred up what was most appropriate for this call in this moment. That was beautiful.
Exactly. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Caroline, were you saying something?
Oh, I'm unmuted.
Yeah, that's why it's like, oh.
No. It was so, so beautiful. I was taken into a tunnel of rainbow light, and then each of the colors of the chakra would expand and then swirl back into the rainbow. And then the third eye, the fuchsias, the violet. It was really, really beautiful. Many, many colors. Really beautiful. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. And Angela was saying that she felt her neck area get really tight and then the feeling moved below her heart section. So there was a lot of movement from, I find too, from the third eye, the back of the neck, the shoulders going down and just lightening up as it went down though. So it's like either information was being downloaded or as the third eye was being activated, there's just, you know, so much other stuff was getting cleared and realigned in some way.
Yes. And, you know, kind of to circle it back to some of the things that we talked about, that third eye energy, part of what it does is it helps us perceive things in a new way. And then we utilize that imagination to bring it into linear form. And so that's how we choose actions and steps and categorize things, and that being able to access new perceptions. So like we were talking about earlier, when you get thrown off your balance, and you're meant to go up and down like a heartbeat, that third eye is what helps you bring in those new perceptions and those new potentials. And then you hold that space for that. And that throat chakra, which was definitely going through a lot of transformation through this, my throat clears. One helps you use the power of manifestation, which in some aspects is the power of word that's connected with the throat chakra, but it's also the actions and the things that we do, the inactions that we choose. All of that is part of the throat chakra. So how we manifest things and the ability to manifest things is clearing so that we're able to hold those perceptions and then bring them into physical form. Beautiful.
Yeah, really powerful. Maybe I'm still yawning. That was yeah, really powerful. I wasn't expecting it to be so so powerful, you know, but it's like, wow, it's still shifting, still moving. So allow yourself, everyone, to breathe and integrate the clearing or the new energies or just this realignment. So allow yourself to do that. Drink some water, you know, that will help as well, and walk around a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm drinking water right now.
Yeah, exactly. And ground into Mother Earth, connect to, you know, like sometimes we have to intentionally connect, right? So having the intention to connect, you know, Gaia wants to connect with us, but we also have to have that intention as well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Getting out, outside, around trees, plants, animals, all of that is so helpful. And when we have that intention, even if you're not outside, that intention to connect and sustain that connection, your awareness is so important, and it helps.
Mm-hmm. Where's my puppy? I'm just wondering. I think he's with Daddy. He's not here. Mm-hmm. It's so important to be when you're connecting with nature, when you're connecting with the trees. It is important to be mindful of, where are you? Are you present, right? And when you do that, you're going to receive more information, more awarenesses, and a greater connection than if you're just like walking around, but you're thinking about what you have to do next, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and that's kind of like that relaxing into it, where you're focused, you're aware, and you're open. Mm-hmm. You're deliberate, and yet not creating extra tension around that connection. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So for as we're moving forward now on our journeys, we're evolving. We're still going to be stuff's going to come up. Mm-hmm. What's one thing that we can do to empower ourselves to move forward with ease?
You know, Austin Arion talks about speaking words of love to the self, and it's an aspect of relaxing into the journey, strengthening the inner resonance, and even combining it with the some of the things that I was talking about earlier around, oh, excellent, I'm going through change, mm-hmm. to really help the self relax. And so speaking words of love to the self is just hands on the heart. And you don't have to do that, but it does help stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system for relaxation, gets the flow between the hand chakras and the heart chakra so that mm-hmm. you're amplifying your inner energy, your chi. And the first sentence is always, I love you, and you say your own name. Mm-hmm. I love you, Jamie. I love you, Alara. And then you just speak words of love to yourself. And it might be something nurturing, like, you are so brave to want to go through deep inner change. Mm-hmm. And things that you would say if you were nurturing a child so that they're more empowered for their future. And that is such a simple exercise. You can do it aloud. You can do it silently. And it's simple as just saying the first sentence to kind of connect if you're, you know, at the grocery store or at work or something, or spending just a moment in the morning or at night to speak those words of love to yourself. Mm-hmm. It is something that helps to overcome one of the big challenges for humanity, which is unconscious, not loving the self, unconscious self-deprecation or disappointment or self-hatred or any variation, whether it's extreme or minor, around that, so that we're not letting that stay unconscious. We're letting it heal into the consciousness.
Beautiful. Thank you. I shared that earlier with my healing group as well. Somebody had brought up something. I that's exactly what I said. You know? So,
so important.
Yeah. It is so important. And it's not always easy, but the more you do it, it will become easier for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So awesome. Beautiful. Thank you so much. And are there any last, you know, we're getting into the end of October, almost into November. You're probably going to start, you've probably already gotten, received the messages for November yet. Can you give us a sneak peek?
Yeah, you know, this whole quarter is about transcending duality. And it's so funny, is I did just record the video and it's not quite ready yet, but I can't remember what the November energies are. I'm sure it'll come back to me.
Yeah.
But this whole quarter is about transcending duality, and October's energy of creative love was helping us to kind of amplify that inner resonance of our self-love, our love for life, that then flows out into the world. And November, gosh, it's so funny that I can't remember what it was. And this is what happens when you're in an altered state as you're bringing that through. It doesn't stick with you when you're not in that state sometimes.
True.
Now I remember. See, I knew it would come back. November's energy are helping us to heal the energy of separation and move into more unity. Mm. And so funny how that is just what we were talking about.
Yeah, awesome.
Because we separate from the self by those, often by those unconscious things of disappointment or guilt or shame. And when we heal that separation within, we start to experience life with much more connection. And unity is part of the same word as unique. So life thrives on diversity. It's not about being like everyone or everyone else being like you or always agreeing. It is about the connection that occurs even with diversity. And so that's the November energy. You know, I love that that is the month of 11/11, and to me, 11/11 is all about our mastery, like really anchoring more of our divinity that's part of us, it's natural to us, and healing separation and anchoring more unity is a perfect focus
of
that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Thank you. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so, you can find out more about Jamie by going to her website, right? JamiePrice.com?
Yes.
Yes. And the monthly videos are all on YouTube as well. So the monthly energy videos are all on YouTube. And there's so many wonderful MP3s on your website, Jamie. I was on there a couple of months ago, actually. And I'm like downloading this and downloading that. And it's like, oh, maybe I should get this one too. This was a wonderful, wonderful products that you have on there, so it's just amazing. I just, and such high vibration, so thank you for that.
Thank you
for having all these wonderful products, and they're reasonably priced. And but the thing is, like, you can, there's samples of them too on the site, and you can just listen to a few of them and tap into the energy, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, see what's resonant for you. Absolutely.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. So this just wonderful stuff. I just love it.
Thank you.
And one of these days, I'm hoping that there is going to be a light language class, not in Sedona, but somewhere else, somewhere right. Here in Europe. I know you were here somewhere, but I wasn't around at that time here in Europe at one point, but I forget where, and I wasn't around.
So yeah, I usually try to do a European date each year. I've been to Norway and Switzerland and Sweden. I go to Japan every year, and I haven't quite settled my 2020 schedule yet, but I do hope to get to Europe again this year as well.
Awesome. Cause I'm in Europe now. So I'm in Austria. So I'll say,
oh, nice. Oh, I love Austria. I'm not sure yet where I'm going to be, but it might be someplace close to Austria. It might be Germany.
Awesome. That's close enough.
I know, that is pretty close.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go today?
You know, sometimes it feels like this will never get done, or what if things go awry? But one thing that Ariane says continuously, life is fail-safed towards love. You really can't not move towards love. It's just that sometimes when things look like they're going in an opposite direction, it can seem like there's not improvement happening, but there really is. And I can even relate to that frustration, even though I see it consistently in sessions and reading the collective energies, that sometimes it can look like, surely this is not an improvement, but it's helping us to strengthen and make new choices, and life is still safe to love. We're going to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to get there. Not to worry. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, keep staying centered.
That's actually, we're already there. It's just sustaining that within. Yeah.
Exactly. Just connecting to that, sustaining that, staying neutral, and just being more aware. Just be more aware, observe, and not react as much. So, yeah. But, you know, sometimes, you know, and when you do, don't judge yourself. It's okay. Exactly. It's okay.
Exactly. Awesome. Oh, yay. Change is happening.
Yeah, exactly. Change is happening, you know, and change is always happening. So get used to that, right?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. This is the pace, as Ariane says. This is the pace.
Yeah. Now. This is the pace. So, yeah, just go with the flow. You know, that's something I used to say all the time. Go with the flow. Go with the flow. And I've gotten off track a little bit sometimes. So it's like, yeah, just go with the flow. It'll be okay.
Yep,
it's all good.
Yep. Me too. And then I just get back on track. As soon as I can.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. And thank you everybody for being here with us, being present with us. Like I said before, drink some water, walk around, connect to Mother Earth. That this was a powerful light language transmission that Jamie shared with us today. So please be gentle with yourself. Right, but it was awesome. So and remember, you know, just like Jamie just said, yeah, things are changing. It's all good. So yes, it's all good. All right. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye for now, everyone.